Here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Coverage YouTube channel. Smash that subscribe button right down there. So a little under the weather today. It'll take a lot more than a little cold, though, to knock me out of commission because we got a lot to get into. It's the sports equinox. I think that's what they call it today. Games across the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL, and NBA. We'll be covering a couple of those leagues today. 11 total bets across the NFL, Monday Night Football, the NBA. We have four bets for that. John Mettler and I went 5-0 with our picks on Friday's show. So hopefully we'll be able to carry that momentum into today. And of course, a look ahead at the week ahead in college football with Brad Powers. He will be along shortly as well. But let's start things off like we always do on a Monday, Monday Night Football. Let's bring in my co-host for the day, my co-worker here at Covers, J-Lo, Jason Logan, riding high. His Dallas Cowboys, an absolute buzzsaw at home. Yeah. You feeling good about them going into Philadelphia or what?
No, absolutely not. We'll get into that as well, too. So they always play well at home. They always score a ton of points at home. As always, though, as any Cowboys fan should be cautiously optimistic about this team, as always.
Yeah, perhaps some shades of my Miami Dolphins when they're going up against
definitely
good teams. You know, pretty comparable stuff there. Okay, so four bets for Monday Night Football. And we'll touch on a couple of different topics here as well. So let's get into that Monday Night Football game. I'll hit lead off my best bet for the game. Over at DraftKings right now, you can get the Lions at -7. Right around -7.5, Edwards. Also, make sure you are shopping around. That is a key number. So, yeah, I think this is a great bounce back spot for the Lions. I think it is a good spot at home for Jared Goff to bounce back versus a weak pass rush. Goff has been much better at home this season, where he has a 113.3 quarterback rating compared to 88 on the road. Facing Raiders defense, that's 28th in pressure percentage, 25th in completion percentage allowed. The one time this season the Raiders did play a good offense, the Bills dropped 38 points on them. And check out the Raiders. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble moving the football and extending drives. They are last in the NFL in yards per rush attempt, 25th on third down. The Lions defense top 7 in each of those categories. And like I said, Detroit looking to bounce back. They got absolutely hammered by the Ravens there last week. And a little bit of a pattern developing for the Lions after a loss. They've had some major bounce backs, wins of 14, 31, and 26 after their last three losses, obviously going back to last season, all three of those games at home as well. So I like the Lions to cover that number tonight. J-Lo, you have a prop for your first bet. What are you looking at?
Yeah, looking at Jakobi Meyers, wide receiver for the Raiders, to go over his receiving yards total, 59.5. It's out there. It's as big as 61.5 at some places, 60.5 at others. So again, make sure you shop around and find it. It was 59.5 at FanDuel. It was like -110, -113. Right now, Meyers just has a good thing going with Jimmy G, and we get Garoppolo back under center after missing last week with that back injury. Since week four, he is tied with Davante Adams in terms of target share, and he's gone over his receiving yard prop in four of the six games that he's been active in. He did miss that game against the Bills. Game script for this one, we see this spread is on the rise, 7.5. It's an indoor game as well, too, on the fast track of Ford Field. So that I expect a lot of passing for the Raiders because they're going to be playing from behind. And you get Jimmy G back out there as well, too. Their passing numbers pretty respectable. You don't think about it, but he's a big step up from those backups as well, too. And then most of the player projections for Meyers as well, too. Over 60 yards, ceiling around 72. My number came out to around 64 yards for him. So he's a guy that is taking hold in this offense. They both have that Patriots lineage. They didn't play with each other in New England, but they both have that Josh McDaniels system. They know where each other's going to be just because of that Patriots lineage. So I like Jakobi Meyers to have a big night tonight.
Meyers, shout out to a Horde Man in the live chat. He says, let's go Fins. Indeed, big win yesterday. I like how they match up with the Kansas City Chiefs in Germany on Sunday morning. Had to get up, not too early, but
Are you going to put on your Lederhosen and get some brats and some some German beer?
Oh, I'll be need to get my stomach pumped by the end of the first quarter here, J-Lo. Yeah, so looking forward to that one. Hopefully the Dolphins can put an end to that talking point that they can't beat good teams. I think they match up well versus the Chiefs. We'll touch on that one later in the week. Some more Monday Night Football to get into here. Let's keep going with these props. So my favorite prop for tonight's game, I like Michael Mayer to go over 21.5 receiving yards. Michael Mayer, the pride of Notre Dame. His role with the Raiders offense continues to grow. Average 48.3 snaps over his last three games. That is way up from the first few weeks of this season. His chemistry with Jimmy G continues to grow as well. He had some good momentum going with Garoppolo in his best two games of the season versus the Packers and the Patriots, 39 and 75 yards. Then Jimmy G went down, but he's back, baby. And the Lions aren't good at defending the tight end position. They're allowing 62.7 receiving yards per game to tight ends. That is among the worst in the NFL at defending the tight end position. So give me Mayer over 21.5 receiving yards. J-Lo, you like an anytime touchdown score for your final pick here for Monday Night Football. What do we got?
Yeah, and this one is a kind of a value. Go shopping and find it as low as you can. And it's Jahmyr Gibbs to score a touchdown anytime. This ranges from minus 140 to minus 150 at some books. DraftKings with that minus 140. They were bounced between that and minus 135. Places like BetMGM and 365, they were at minus 150. But this one was as high as minus 250 at some books right now. So definitely go and find that lower number. But for him, he is the lone running back here for them, the feature back for them with Montgomery still out. He got 65 snaps against Baltimore last week. He came back from a hamstring injury, so he's healthy. He had 11 carries and 10 targets in that game, in which they weren't running the ball at all because they were playing from way, way behind. So I think his workload last week doesn't reflect what we could see here against the Raiders. And speaking of the Raiders, not great in the red zone, giving up touchdowns on almost 74%. Bad against running backs as well, too. So Gibbs, a guy that can hurt you through the air and hurt you on the ground. I like him to find the end zone. And like I said, go shop around. You can find it minus 140, minus 150 range. That's why it pays to have more books than one. So,
yeah, I do think the game sets up very nicely for Gibbs there tonight versus the Raiders. Guys, if you are in the live chat right now, let us know what your best bets are for tonight's games. Horde Man weighing in again to a 6-0 lifetime against Bill Belichick. Absolutely. Let us know what you like tonight. Let us know what you like for the NBA as well. Make sure you like the video and hit the subscribe button down there as well. So let's get into one of our favorite games here that we play on the Monday show, J-Lo. Futures bet to make today. I was looking at a couple different ones. I was considering under on the Packers team total. I was considering under on the Eagles team total, actually. But I'm going to take a big swing here. There's a bet that I absolutely love involving the Detroit Lions. So over at FanDuel right now, you can bet on which team will finish the regular season with the best record. I like the Lions at 11-1. That is the sixth best odds. So hear me out here. They're very much in the hunt for this right now. They have just two losses. So there's six other teams who only have two losses. Of course, the Eagles are ahead of all those teams with just one loss. The Lions have played the toughest part of their schedule already this season. They play Kansas City, Seattle, and Baltimore. Check out their remaining 10 opponents. Of their remaining 10 opponents, only one of those teams, the Dallas Cowboys, has a record above 500. Some other standout opponents that they should be able to beat up on. Of course, the Raiders tonight. They have the Bears twice. They host both the Packers and the Broncos. And they have the Vikings twice. No Kirk Cousins. Oof. It's looking like for the Vikings. So the schedule sets up absolutely fantastically for the Detroit Lions. And you look at the team ahead of them. It's about to get really tough for the Philadelphia Eagles. They get the Cowboys twice. They're in Kansas City against the Chiefs. They play the Bills, 49ers, and Seahawks. And the Lions, you take a look back at the last 17 games, one of the best teams in the NFL, 13-4. During that span, you might say the competition hasn't been very strong. I don't have much of a rebuttal to that, but the rest of the competition this season isn't very strong either. So 11-1 to have the best record the rest of the way. I think that's a beautiful bet that you can make on the Lions right now. And hopefully we'll start tonight with covering versus the Las Vegas Raiders. J-Lo, what is your favorite futures bet to place today?
All right. I got another little sneaky long shot as well, too. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow to win MVP. It's at plus 2,200 out there. Burrow looks like he's back. He's over that calf injury that he suffered in the summer. Just shredded this Niners defense. So that's a big feather in his cap. And if you kind of, you know, you can put the Bengals back in the playoff hunt, I expect them to be right in the mix with the way that they're playing on both sides of the football. Defense look great. Offense look great. And maybe they can pressure and perhaps take this AFC North from the Ravens as well, too. Now, Burrow was plus 700 to win MVP before the season started. He was as high as plus 5,000 on October 24th before they beat San Francisco last week. So definitely getting a big adjustment in the MVP market here. And since week five, during this three-game winning streak for Cincinnati, and they had a bye week in there as well, he ranks top seven in a number of advanced QB metrics, is top in success rate, completion, CPOE, and number four in EPA plus CPOE, which is kind of like the big grade out in advanced metrics for quarterbacks. He's fourth in that. He's behind Hurts and Mahomes and Josh Allen, the guys that are with him in that MVP market. He's ahead of your boy Tua in that span as well, too. So I think there's some value. If Joe Burrow can get this team from what they were 1-2, if he can get them to the playoffs, then definitely has to be in that MVP conversation. And he looked fantastic yesterday.
Yeah, I've been down on the Bengals for most of the season for pretty good reason. I mean, they got their ass kicked in a couple of the games coming out, but I kind of hit you last night.
A one-legged quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, and that's completely fair. And the defense looked fantastic. You know, they had always been a team that takes a little bit of time to get going. They got off to a very slow start last season. You'll recall Cooper Rush beat them in Dallas when they visited the Cowboys in week two. I had them on a teaser in that game, so I remember that one vividly. But yeah, it hit me last night that the Bengals are going to start making a push right now, aren't they? Probably sneak into the playoffs. And I mean, you look at the guys ahead of them. One of the criticisms of Tua.
Well, Joe's sound.
Lost your audio, yeah. Joe.
We lost Joe's audio. Yeah, the criticism to the Tua, I assume some bad interceptions thrown, like what we saw, a sloppy one from the against the Patriots. Joe might want to reload and jump back in. I don't know. We got to check that box on technical difficulties every week, too.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, there you go. There.
Yes.
Turn it on and turn it off. That's the extent of your
turn it on and turn it off. Yeah. Yeah, as I was saying, though, Patrick Mahomes has had some really spotty performances here this season. Mm-hmm. You remember versus the Jets, he didn't look very good. He looked awful versus the Broncos there yesterday. And my guy, Tua, you got to be able to beat a good team, right? The Dolphins really, really, really had to make a push for that number one overall seed in the AFC. They're like your Dallas mm-hmm. Cowboys. They are great at home. But when they go on the road against some good competition, a bit of a mixed bag. So let's look ahead here to week nine, some sure. lines maybe to consider jumping on right now. There's a few that stand out to me. Seahawks are plus 5.5 in Baltimore against the Ravens. I think that's too many points. The Ravens were favored by what? 3 over the Lions. Is that what that was at when the Lions were in?
Yeah. Baltimore? Yeah. It was 3 point. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't quite understand why the Seahawks would be plus 5.5. Obviously, the Ravens beat the crap out of the Lions, but I think that is too many points. I got to give strong consideration to under 37.5 for Vikings versus Falcons. No Kirk Cousins. Commanders, Patriots, under 40. I absolutely love that bet. And Cowboys, Eagles, I will be in attendance this mm-hmm. Sunday. J-Lo, a total of 46.5 for this game. I like the over on that that one quite a bit. So those would be the look aheads that stand out to me. What stands out to you for the week nine board here?
Sure. So I have a couple bets that I already got in, but the lines of move, I'll kind of still pitch those anyway. I did take the Eagles minus 2.5. It was 2.5 this morning at FanDuel. They were the last book holding on just under a field goal. That's now 3s across the board. I just think Philly's offense can pretty much do what it wants against this Dallas defense. It's puffed up its numbers against some bad teams. But the last time we saw them play a quality two-way team like the Eagles is San Francisco. And I think the Eagles are a better team. They're down Leighton Vander Esch and the run stop. They're down Trayvon Diggs, two key cogs in this defense. They're giving up yards on the ground. They're giving up big plays. That is exactly what Philly wants to do, is set you up for those over-the-top looks. And And I don't know if Dallas is going to be able to keep pace with them. They're fantastic at home. They can score a ton at home. They hit the road. It's a different story. So I did take Eagles minus 2.5. It is 3. I don't hate the 3. Like I said, I feel pretty confident the Eagles are going to beat them. And then the other bet that I did make was over in Colts and Panthers. It opened 43.5. I bet at 44. It's now up to 45.5. The Colts, last three games for the Colts, 57 points, 77 points, and 65 total points scored in those games. Blew all the totals out of the water. They are, yeah. I said they're the NFL equivalent to deep frying a turkey. You know this is just going to end in flames and disaster at some point. And then the Panthers, while they only scored 15 points in that win over Houston, that offense looked much, much better. If you look at Bryce Young's stats for that game, not a huge passing game, but he had 7.1 yards per pass attempt. He completed 71% of his throws, a little more dynamic with Thomas Brown calling the plays. And then the Colts also have the distraction of going to Germany the next week as well, too. So I took the over, like I said, over 44 is where I got this one. It's at 45.5, 46 being that key number. I still think it's probably pretty live considering how just wild Colts games have been. And then I did bet Atlanta minus 4. I'm a little hesitant of 4-point favorites because they just never cover for whatever. It's that no man's land of point spreads. You're better than 3, but not good enough to get 5.5 or 6. I took Atlanta minus 4.
Let me throw this at you. So obviously some quarterback issues with the Atlanta Falcons. The defense looks pretty strong this season. The offense does not. You can probably blame a lot of that on the quarterback position. What would you think of this? Kyler Murray to the Atlanta Falcons.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No. No. I still think I'm going to have to, one second, if I could still talk, I got to plug my computer in because it's going to run out of power here. But I still think that Kyler Murray is the guy for Atlanta.
Okay.
I don't think they can bail on him just yet. Josh Dobbs is not your guy. He's still a lot of meat on the bone with Kyler Murray.
A lot of meat on the bone with Kyler Murray. Okay. Well, you plug your computer in. I hope you could still hear me.
I got you.
Let me throw something else at you. I think the Cardinals will do away with Kyler Murray here at some point, but they're probably going to have to eat a lot of that contract. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Maybe a change of scenery type of thing there for Murray. So let's end on this, and then we'll go to Brad Powers there. We'll switch over to college football. But the New York Jets, this is a team that I've been bashing pretty much every opportunity that I get. But here they are at 4-3, a winning record. The rest of the schedule isn't that difficult. And are the Jets good? Are they lucky? Or is it both? Because when Aaron Rodgers went down, on what, the first series of the season, you're like, their season is done. But here they are. They have wins over the Bills. They have wins over the Eagles. You can say that, hey, those teams beat themselves. We saw what happened yesterday versus the Giants. That obviously was lucky. But they have a winning record, and it's a pattern. They keep being in a position to win. So what do you think? Are they good, lucky, or both?
I think they're a little – I'll say they're good. Their defense is good. Their defense, the stats going to get blown out of proportion early on because Zach Wilson struggled so much. But their running game is starting to find its traction. And then Zach Wilson is starting to not hurt this team compared to what he was in those first couple starts where he was throwing 3 interceptions against Dallas. His completion percentage has been pretty good. His yards per attempt has been pretty good. But he's not necessarily hurting the team. He's picking up some tough yards with his legs too. So I think his improvement, if you can run the ball and you can play defense, I think you're going to be able to stay in games because you can kind of park the opposing team's offense with your run game. If you can run it effectively, and then you can keep them from scoring. It keeps the points off the board. It keeps it a little closer. So I think, I mean, they're not a great team, but I think they're good because they have success running it. And then this defense is still very good.
Okay. There we have it. The Jets are good. You heard it here first on Before You Bet. Okay, J-Lo, we will leave it at that. We wish you best of luck with your bets tonight, your handicapping this week. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll catch you Wednesday for the Sharp 600.
That's right. Thanks so much, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Okay, let us shift gears over to college football. A lot to discuss there. Some action this week. Let's go down to sunny Las Vegas. There's our guy, Brad Powers, representing the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, are you a Chargers fan, or do you just like the hat type of thing?
I like the hat, but I was a fan last night and they won me some money. So there you go.
There you go. Yeah, that was an absolute layup for them last night. It was a rare game that I turned off. I turned off. I put the alerts on the phone, and it just wasn't entertaining. The Chicago Bears, that's what you get. But yeah, a real ass kicking. But let's shift over to college football here, Brad. Start like we typically do on a Monday. Any big takeaways out of this weekend that you'll consider going forward, whether it be big picture or specific to betting?
Yeah, a couple of them, and we'll actually talk further more about a couple of these teams later. But, you know, number one, you got to give your tip your cap to Oregon going to Salt Lake City and absolutely throttling Utah pretty much from start to finish in that game. Oregon, to me, proved themselves to be the best team in the Pac-12. I know they lost to Washington on the road, but that was as dominant a performance as we've seen in a hostile territory in any game, in any conference so far this college football season. The other big takeaway would be Kansas's upset over Oklahoma, and now the margin for error for the entire Big 12 conference is now razor thin. They have to hope that either Oklahoma or Texas wins out if the Big 12 is going to get a playoff bid. If they have a two-loss champ, they're not going to get in. They're not one of those conferences like the SEC that get the benefit of the doubt. So we're starting to kind of see Pac-12 as well. As these marquee teams are playing one another, they're starting to eat each other up. And you know, we said, oh, there's so many great teams out there this year. But once they start playing teams, now we're going to have a bunch of 2-3 loss teams.
Okay, let's take a look at the National Championship Futures Odds Board. A few teams really separating themselves. Of course, we have Georgia and Michigan at the top, followed by Florida State plus 600, Ohio State plus 750. And then we have a bit of a gap. Oregon, Washington, 14-1, Alabama, 14-1 as well. Texas, 16-1. So outside of those top four, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, and Ohio State, if you needed to place a bet on one team to win the national championship, who would it be?
It'd be the Oregon Ducks, 14-1. I kind of hinted at it earlier. You got to be impressed with what you saw from them last week in the Utah game. I think they're the most complete team in the Pac-12, offense, defense, not many weaknesses. I thought, you know, change one play in the Washington game. You know, they get that fourth down, they're able to run out the clock. That would be a nice feather in their cap, a win against Washington. And then most importantly for this conversation, not just the strength of the team, but I like the pathway for Oregon. They're going to be favored in their remaining games in the regular season. They get USC at home. They get the all-important rivalry game against Oregon State at home. And then on a neutral, if they face Washington again in a rematch, right now Oregon would be about a 3 to 4 point favorite over Washington in that game. So I like the Ducks to run the table. Not to win the title, but at least to make the playoff.
Okay.
14-1. I mean, that's all you want. You want somebody to make the playoff. You got them 14-1. You're feeling good at that point.
Yeah. If they can get into the dance, absolutely. So we have some midweek action getting going this week. So before we get into your best bets here, any general approach or tips, if any, for betting these midweek games? Does anything with the betting approach change given that these games are taking place in the middle of the week as opposed to Saturday?
No, your fundamentals should always remain the same. But, I mean, obviously, these are smaller schools that are getting big-time limits as far as the betting handles of these games that they typically don't see when they're competing against a 50-game card on a Saturday. So, I mean, specific to the MAC, what are you looking for? Weather. I mean, I grew up in MAC country. I graduated from a MAC school. You got to focus on the weather first and foremost. We typically see these totals, and this week, no exception. They get pounded from the start, from the openers. Usually the under gets play there. I will also caution people when it comes to some action. These teams aren't very good. This is now the weakest conference in college football, along with Conference USA. Wasn't the case when I was back in college. It was actually one of the better group of five conferences. So what do you get? You get inconsistent play. You get variance. So be careful. If you're not specializing in it, don't overdo it. Don't blow your entire bankroll for the week on Tuesday and Wednesday night MAC games.
Okay. Yeah. Don't go nuts with these MAC action midweek games. There's a lot more to bet on here, people. NBA, NHL, we got some World Series as well. Everything's going on right now. It's a great time to be a sports bettor. So let's get into some of your best bets here for the weekend. Some under-the-radar games, absolutely. Let's start with this South Carolina A game they are favored by 15.5 points over Jacksonville State. Can South Carolina cover the big number?
Yeah, I'm going to lay it. And people are like, wow, have you seen South Carolina play? They're 2-6, and you're laying 15.5 points. Jacksonville State, 7-2, pretty good team. Well, have you seen the disparities in strength of schedules that these two teams have played so far this year? South Carolina's played the toughest schedule in the country so far. Don't believe me? Jeff Sagarin's got a rating that goes all the way back to the BCS. I mean, so somebody out there thought that his computer ratings were pretty good to include him way back in that in the day. But number one, strength of schedule for South Carolina. You know who's dead last? Jacksonville State, number 133rd. So on the average team power rating, South Carolina's playing strength of opposition about 3 touchdowns better on average than Jacksonville State. You flip these two teams' schedule, I don't think we have a 15.5 point spread with an unbeaten South Carolina team against Conference USA and a 1 or 2 win Jacksonville State team playing the SEC teams. You're probably seeing a 3-4 touchdown type of spread here. So I think there's value on South Carolina. Must win mode if they got to win out if they want to get to a bowl game.
Okay, a bit of a tighter one here. Utah State favored by 2.5 over San Diego State. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, we just have statistically the far superior team that's played a little bit tougher schedule in Utah State. San Diego State probably living a little bit off their name brand, believe it or not, over the last 10, 12 years. And Utah State is kind of ascending a little bit, better than expected this year. Yards per play margin, more than 2 yards per play margin between these two teams. Utah State's plus 1.1 on the season. San Diego State's minus 1 yard per play on the season. Again, Utah State's played a better schedule. You look at yards per game margin, Utah State's 145 yards per game margin, better than San Diego State. So much better team. I know they're on the road. There is hardly any home field advantage. If you watched any San Diego State games, even in their new stadium, there's about 5 people that show up to their games. So let's take the far superior team laying less than a field goal on the road.
Okay, let us wrap with another tight spread. Iowa State favored by 2.5 over Kansas. What are you thinking for this one?
Yeah, so this is a situational play for me. Typically, you know, I just power ratings first and foremost, and I do like the power rating here. I have Iowa State by 3. And just to recap, I had South Carolina by 17 and then Utah State by 3.5 in the other 2 picks. But in this instance, you throw out the power rating a little bit. Situationally, I love to play against teams off outlier performances. We talked about it on the open. Kansas, arguably their biggest win in a generation, 20, 25 years. They hadn't beaten Oklahoma since 1997. They tore down the goalposts. They threw them in the lake. I'm sure that they weren't thinking about much about preparation for this game, even on Sunday and maybe even early in the Monday. Iowa State is focused. This is a team on the ascent. They dominated each of their last 2 conference games. They're looking to game bowl eligibility. Iowa State, the home team, minus 2.5.
Okay, 3 best bets for this week's games. We will leave it at that, Brad. Brad, thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with those bets. Best of luck with your handicapping this week as well, and we will catch you again on Thursday.
Hey, thanks again, Joe.
Yes, sir. The man down there in sunny Las Vegas. Okay, let's get into my third and final guest of the day for our NBA segment, John Mettler from Sportsbook Review. John and I, 5-0 with our picks on Friday's show. No one even congratulated us here at Covers. I needed to remind everybody about that, John. But yeah, here we are. This weekend in the NBA, Adam Silver came out at the start of the year and they're trying to do all this stuff to get rid of load management. We see Jimmy Butler rest on Friday night. What was that, their third game of the season? We saw Joel Embiid was questionable to rest in last night's game. He ended up playing and played fantastically. So not a good start to the NBA from a load management standpoint. But John, you placed a futures bet over the weekend. You like the Pelicans to win their division. Tell us why, and then we'll get into our best bets for tonight.
Yeah, it kind of plays into what you're talking about with the load management. For one, when the season started, the Southwest has kind of always been on my radar. I just don't think the Grizzlies, the 25 games from Rant, and then Steven Adams goes out for the whole year right before the season starts. They're missing other guys, Brandon Clark, Santi Aldama. They're just missing a lot of guys. So to be the favorite in that division, I never really thought they should be the favorite. They are a good team. They might be the best team in the division once the playoffs come. But in terms of the long regular season, I just didn't like them as the favorite. But I never pulled the trigger on a bet until this weekend when the Pelicans, I was watching them play the Knicks, and I started kind of like surfing around. I kind of had my eyes on the Mavericks a little bit, but kind of what you're talking about, the load management, the Mavericks to me will probably be that other team that, you know, you're going to see Doncic sit a little bit. You're going to see Kyrie Irving sit a little bit. I don't think they'll take the regular season as seriously as some of the other teams, where the Pelicans have a lot of depth. So like, even if they do want to sit out Zion Williamson, you know, you have your McCollum and Brandon Ingram. You also have much better role players and good defense. They lead the league in defense. I know it's only a couple games, but the Mavericks are kind of like that flashy play. The Pelicans are kind of like that. I don't know. I think you got to appreciate the defense side of things. Also, the number on the Pelicans was better than the Mavericks when I was searching through. So that played a big factor too.
So it's fair to say that you're high on Zion this season, correct?
I would like to see him play more than 65 games. That'd be great. Now I'm very invested in it.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll have that long of a future there in New Orleans, but maybe he can change my mind this season. Okay, John, let's try to go for another sweep here tonight. Let's get into our best bets. I'll get us started. I hit on the Nets on Friday night. I'll look to hit on them again. I'm going to take them on the money line, -115. They are in Charlotte versus the Hornets. I think nice value on Brooklyn here after two close losses to quality opponents. They lost by one to Cleveland in their season opener. They lost by five to the Mavs in a game where they were actually up by five with 2:10 left on the clock. Both games they probably should have won. If they did, they'd likely be favored by a few more points here. Offensively, they've been fantastic. Lights out shooting, top five in EFG and three-point shooting percentage. Bottom six for Charlotte in each of those categories. And some sloppy play here for the Hornets. Lots of turnovers, dirty defense, 27th in turnover percentage, 28th in opponent free throw attempt rate. So expect to see the Nets on the line quite a bit tonight. That could be the difference in this one. So I'll take the Nets on the money line. John, you have a duo of props. What's your first one that you like tonight?
Yeah, they're both coming from the same game too, with a big slate, which is doesn't happen too often. But the first one is Tyrese Haliburton over 9.5 assists, -145. That's what I grabbed it at this morning. It has been moving around. I'll explain that a little bit here. But from more of like a basketball side of things, if you watch the Bulls specifically, like I watched their game against the Pistons with Kate Cunningham, the Bulls are having a really hard time stopping the opposing point guard from controlling the game. Cunningham had complete control of that game. And the backline defense on the Bulls has like the vision of and the rotations is terrible. They're giving up so many baseline cuts for dunks and stuff. I think that's kind of leads into like the next thing, which I kind of want to bring up here, was in terms of Tyrese Haliburton specifically, the addition of Obi Toppin into the lineup when it comes to his assists is kind of big, right? Like he's a lob threat. It's easy assists. Last year, Haliburton led the entire NBA in potential assists. Even though he didn't lead the league in assists, he was like two more potential assists per game than Harden. But it's because a lot of those assists were going to three-point shooters. So now you kind of replace Toppin. You know, Buddy Hield was in the starting lineup a lot last year. Now you put Toppin in there instead of three-point shots, it's dunks. And those assists convert a lot, obviously at a higher rate. Toppin can shoot the 3-2. I think I was looking at Toppin's points prop too. I don't think I didn't really see much there from that angle. I probably prefer the Haliburton assists. In terms of the actual assist number, it has moved to 10.5 a lot of spots. I have the 10.5 price at -120. So if you can do better than -120, there's +105 at, I think, DraftKings and BetMGM. So I would definitely still, just because it's moved from 9.5 to 10.5, that doesn't mean your edge is gone. I still think there's something there.
Okay, back to me. My favorite underdog of the night. Oh, oh, oh. Give me the Pistons +6 in OKC taking on the Thunder. So this isn't last season's Detroit Pistons, people. The rebuild could be a little bit ahead of schedule here. Monty Williams has the fellas playing strong. Cade Cunningham playing like an all-star. Opened the season going right down to the wire with the Heat, where they had a one-point loss, and they beat the Hornets by 12 and the Bulls by 16. I think they're going to be able to push the Thunder around on the inside here. This is a matchup between teams ranked first and 28th in rebounds per 100 possessions. Pistons first in offensive rebound percentage. OKC's 27th, also ranking 27th in points allowed in the paint. Detroit is 5th in that category. So better access to high percentage scoring opportunities for the Pistons will likely be the case in this one. And a great start on the defensive end here for Detroit. 3rd in opponent EFG, 5th in points allowed per 100 possessions. So I expect the Pistons to give the Thunder a bit of a game there in OKC. Okay, John, final pick of the show today. Bring it home for us.
Yeah, just to double down when you said the Pistons. Check in that game on League Pass. A lot of young guys. But final pick, same game, DeMar DeRozan, over 21.5 points. It's out there. It's the same thing. This one's moving a lot. I bet it at plus 100 this morning. It's continuously moving. There's minus 106 when we came on the show here. I actually have it priced at minus 140. So there's still quite a bit of room there. Just don't go past minus 140. For DeRozan, the Bulls don't play with a lot of pace and the Pacers do. So it's kind of connected to the Haliburton bet a little bit here, where I don't think they're going to be able to stop Tyrese Haliburton from pushing pace. So this game could be really up and down, a lot more up and down than what the Bulls are used to. So when you see DeRozan's points prop, it's usually in the 22.5, 23.5 range. When it's down to 21.5, and you're also expecting higher pace than what he usually plays at with a 23.5, that 21.5 becomes really appealing. I think that's why it's steaming pretty hard too in the market throughout the day. Also, Zach LaVine he just decided he was going to shoot every single shot on Saturday. So I think there'll probably be a little more defensive tension put towards Zach LaVine than DeRozan in this style of game. I really like this DeRozan prop. I think the pace, they can't stop the point guards from controlling the game. So I think that's something to look at here with DeRozan.
Okay, DeRozan. Yeah, hopefully we see him on the free throw line a lot, getting a lot of freebies. Okay, John, we will leave it at that. Thank you again for joining us, and we will catch you again on Thursday's show.
All right, see you Thursday.
Yes, sir. Okay, before we let you go, if you're just tuning in, if you missed our picks for Monday Night Football, let's do a quick recap. My best bet, I like the Lions to cover the spread. -7 at DraftKings. So -7.5 pretty much everywhere else. Make sure you are shopping around. I still don't mind it at -7.5. I was prepared to play that. And Raiders tight end Michael Mayer, I like him to go over his receiving yard total of 21.5 yards. Jason Logan, he liked Gibbs to get into the touchdown or to get into the end zone, score a touchdown. I don't know if we have a graphic for him. None for J-Lo. Okay. That is it for today's show. We made it through a little under the weather. Maybe my version of the Michael Jordan flu game here, depending on if the picks hit or not. We will see about that. But thanks for watching, guys. If you like the show, it's very easy to let us know. Just hit the like button right down there. Also, make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. A lot of great content on everything that there is to cover in the world of sports betting, and there's a lot going on right now. I think there's a video up right now for Game 3 of the World Series if you're looking for some bets there, some NHL action as well. And, of course, we're going to be all over college football and the NFL this week. So that does it. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We will catch you again on Thursday. Same time, same place. See you then.